Weddings are a celebration of finding the perfect fit. And with Indochino, you can design a custom suit made to your measurements. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any order of $399 or more.
Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. National championship game tonight between UConn and San Diego State. And we continue to react to the aftermath of yesterday's national championship game in women's college basketball as LSU does prevail up against Iowa, and all about the end of the game with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. We'll talk more about that coming up later. But let me start off this hour with a little NFL stuff. So it's officially rumor season. I know once the football season ends, rumors do pick up. But when you are now less than a month out from the draft, this is when it really does pick up in intensity with the combine over, the pro days pretty much, all the big ones over. And now you get a few weeks of just rumors, where some may be true and others may be intentionally false just to kind of set up some type of smokescreen to either benefit a team and maybe get them to have a player fall, or maybe get another team to do something that they normally wouldn't just because of how much smoke and how much hype is being made about a certain player that they may like. So this time of the year, I tend to be skeptical of everything until there's a press conference and until we're at the draft and it's like, okay, with the first overall pick, this player is going and that player is going and blah, 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 blah. But we've already seen, really, the wheels start to spin on this NFL draft because it doesn't happen this way all the time, but you already get the big move and already one of the dominoes to fall where the Panthers move up to get the number one overall pick and the Bears fall back still in the top 10, and they also get DJ Moore and other picks to partner up with their young quarterback in Justin Fields. But Hickey, usually when a team moves up to the number one spot, like a few years ago, we saw the Niners move up to 3 and there was legit intrigue on who they were going to take. But when you move into the number one spot, we usually have an idea of who the pick is going to be. Now, not that we have no clue, but between the two players in Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, we really don't know who is going to be the number one pick. And depending on how long it takes for the Panthers to leak out who they're going to draft, and I actually hope, I don't expect this to happen. I really, really, really do hope they don't leak it out until they are at the podium and the draft is underway, because this could have a major domino effect that just spirals out of control if we see Bryce Young go with the number one overall pick. And you already start to see NBC Sports say, oh, the Texans aren't locked into taking a quarterback at number two. Well, all we've heard so far is how much the Texans are enamored with Bryce Young. So I don't know about you, Hickey, and if you want to believe these rumors or not, that's up to you. But the reporting that I'll investigate or I'll look into and try to say, okay, what does this mean? Kind of go Brian Windhorst, what does this mean? What does this information mean? Point the fingers and all that. Is that report by NBC Sports, the Texans aren't locked into a quarterback at two. First off, I don't really believe it, but if it were to be true, I think that means Bryce Young isn't available at two, and that means he went at one, and maybe they have reservations about CJ Stroud, because everything you've read, Hickey, and you know this better than anyone, because in your crazy world, you're still hoping some way, somehow, that your Colts end up getting the guy that you want in Bryce Young sitting at four. You know that Bryce Young, if he gets the two, he won't be available after two because that's how much the Texans want him.
I mean, I think Peter King put a 90-10 percentage-wise that he thinks the Texans will take a quarterback. But that 10% being Nick Casario kind of being more conservative, or there's not a quarterback he loves, taking the best available player, then circling back maybe. But yes, I would agree. I think they will take a quarterback. I do think it will be, unfortunately, Bryce Young, but it is rumor season. A lot of these are designed. Now, although I will say for the Texans, it's a little bit more believable just because they have no incentive to lie. Like, I get the Colts at four and why there's these Will Levis rumors. Who does that actually benefit? Is it the Colts or is it another team maybe that's now trying to trade up to number three if they like Will Levis
Texans,
or not?
Texans, by the way, also have the 12th pick in this draft as well.
They do. But it's like, if you are, you know, what's the benefit of the Texans putting out there that they're not,
I don't know,
likely to get a quarterback?
I don't know. Maybe it's something they're trying to play mind games with the Panthers, so they select someone. Like, I don't know what the excuse would be for the Texans at this point to lie. Or maybe it's just as simple as this. Whoever Peter King was talking to, because you're assuming that this is coming from someone inside the Texans organization, maybe they're just making their percentages, and they know that they're going to take a quarterback. But you got to evaluate, and you got to do your job, because you have another pick, and who knows who falls and what happens on draft night. Now it wouldn't be a big deal, but remember when Laramie Tunsil was supposed to go early, and the next thing you know, that gas mask photo is out, and the next thing you know, he's falling down the draft board. So if something like that happens, maybe you still got to be prepared to pounce, especially if maybe then you move up from 12 back inside the top 10 to go get someone. What I think this really is, Hickey, and as you said, it's 90% they take a quarterback, 10% they don't. I would guess two things. One, if Stroud doesn't go, if Young goes one, maybe there's a chance they pass on Stroud. Or two, maybe it just means that they're going to give you the two quarterbacks, and then they're going to put something just conflicting out there, which just shows you how much they love the best non-quarterback, where technically there are percentages where you could get it to 10, but I don't actually believe that the Texans are going to pass up on a quarterback, regardless if it is Young or Stroud available at 2.
I would agree. I fully anticipate them. It's a brand new start in terms of you have a new head coach. It feels like for the first time now, you know, this is the third head coach in 3 years.
Yeah.
That this is legitimately the Texans turning the page and now are stopped the teardown and are going to start rebuilding. And that would obviously would coincide with getting a quarterback.
Well, that's the weird part in how you evaluate Nick Caserio. This is his third coach, but this is the first time you actually believe in a coach that he's hiring.
Right.
The last 2 years, no one thought Dave Culley was going to make it past 2 years. He didn't even make it past 1 year. No one thought Lovie Smith was going to be the guy that turns the franchise around. We all knew some of the guys they wanted to hire, right? I guess they wanted McCown, and then they couldn't hire McCown. Or maybe they wanted Flores, and they couldn't hire Flores because of the lawsuit. So they punted once again. Now, I don't think Caserio should get a free pass, but he did take over a difficult situation. And if D'Amico Ryans likes him, which you know he does so far, and who knows if there's maybe motives from D'Amico Ryans in a few years from now to get his guy in there. But D'Amico Ryans could have got the Broncos job. And he wanted to go to the Texans. So I don't think he's going to try to run Caserio out of town. But that is a slippery game to play. And with how much that the organization likes D'Amico Ryans, I do think in a weird way it does reset Caserio's timeline, where if there is one to go over the other, it's going to be Caserio first. But I kind of think, even though it's not year one, it gets viewed as, okay, new regime, year one of Caserio with D'Amico Ryans. So it does reset the time clock on Nick Caserio with the Texans.
It also makes no sense that if you're going to pass on a quarterback at 2, then use your pick at 12 to maybe trade back up to get, you know, I don't know, let's say a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson. Like, if they truly, for whatever reason.
Some are saying Hendon Hooker.
Like, if you like whatever quarterback, Richardson, Hooker, Levis, take him at 2. Like, take them at 2. You don't get cute. It doesn't matter if you take them at 2 or 7. It really does not matter. There's no reason to give up extra draft capital to circle back. Take the quarterback you like at 2. And deal with the reaction later.
Well, it goes back to really the Giant and Packers conversations, where when the Giants took Daniel Jones at 6, everyone was like, what? Like, you could have got him much later in the draft. Now, you never know what happens on draft night, where maybe you would not have been in a position, I know they had other picks that year, to go get him. And maybe someone would jump you that's just out of your control. And when you look at Jordan Love with the Packers, I think everyone in America says, well, who was the other team that was going to draft him in the first round? So why'd you have to trade up? They felt like they couldn't afford to lose him. And now look at it. Jordan Love's going to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Who knows how that's going to work? And Daniel Jones somehow, some way, just got a contract extension from the New York Giants. Now, I would say at other positions, maybe you could wait. But at the quarterback spot, with how important it is in football and all of sports, most important position in sports, if you really love the guy, I don't think you play the game of, okay, we'll take Will Anderson at 2, and let's say their target is Anthony Richardson. I'm just throwing out a random name, and we'll find a way to trade up from 12 to go get him. Well, the next thing you know, maybe the Raiders trade up to 3, and then maybe the Raiders want Anthony Richardson, and then boom, you're SOL and the player that you love the most. So you do your evaluations, you do your scouting reports, and whoever you love the most, sometimes you take the best player on the board, but eventually you got to fit need, and you got to address your needs. And I know the Texans have an abundance of needs, but I don't play this game of waiting at the quarterback spot. Like what Ron Rivera is doing right now with the Commanders, now he's talking about, oh, we finally like feel like you have the roster and now we're roster building. You've been roster building for the last few years. As we said a few years ago, we're going to build the roster and then get the quarterback. Your quarterback selection just has been bad. So I know in an ideal world, you'd rather have the roster built. You'd rather be good to go so you don't throw your quarterback to the wolves. But I think the Texans have done some good things this offseason, and you're in a division that is not all that good outside of the Jaguars. Like Tennessee is not viewed as Tennessee from a few years ago. We know the Colts are a major problem as well. If I'm the Texans, I'm not getting cute here, nor do I think they will. Whoever you like the most at the quarterback spot that's available, excuse me, whoever you love the most, because that's another thing. If you're just draft a quarterback, that's a risky game. But I got to think, with sitting at the number two pick, they will fall in love with Young and Stroud, and whoever doesn't go one will end up going there too. If it's Richardson, if it's Levis, I would be very surprised by that at two, because those guys are viewed as projects as well, and it's not like this Texans quarterback room has someone right now where it's, oh my goodness gracious, we need to play that guy that could hold off everyone clamoring to see the second overall pick in the draft. Davis Mills isn't doing that. Case Keenum isn't doing that. So I think they definitely got to take a quarterback, and they will take a quarterback at two. And right now, Hickey, I don't know where you sit on this one. I know we've jumped back and forth 9,000 times on this, and we'll continue to do so in the next 3 weeks. Right now, I think Stroud will be the first pick, and Young will be the second pick. If I was drafting and I'm the Panthers, I would draft Bryce Young one, but I just go back to those initial reports on Stroud the day, an hour, not even an hour after they traded up, and that was the first name that was leaked to us to be the number one overall pick, and that caught me by surprise. That's why I keep on going back to that, even though there's been stuff leaking out now that there's a lot of Bryce Young fans in that Panthers organization.
Yeah, I've not seen Josh McCown kind of caress Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson or Will Levis the way he caressed C.J. Stroud.
It's like when you take a girl out to a date, and then, like, you go into like the movie theater, you put your arm around her, you're watching the movie, you guys are looking at each other, there's a spark, a little twinkle in the eyes. That's what it looked like between McCown and C.J. Stroud. It was love at first sight at the drive-in movie theater.
I think he's ready to say, I love you. He's one of those guys on the first date, I love you. Absolutely one of those guys.
We all have that friend. And it's the worst friend in the world that goes on one date. She's the one. I can't believe it. She's the greatest thing in the world. Already thinking about the wedding. Everyone knows that friend. If you're listening right now, you know that friend that's already right at the tip of your tongue, right in the front of the brain. The buddy of yours, I matched with this girl on Hinge or whatever the dating site is now. Or I went at the bar and I saw this girl. We went on a date. It was the greatest thing ever. Love at first sight. That's what McCown looked like with C.J. Stroud. Now, sometimes those could be messy relationships. Sometimes, most of the times, they end horribly. And maybe that will be the case for the Panthers, where they break up before they even really get together, and then it ends up being Bryce Young with the number one pick. How quickly, that's the big question. How quickly does Josh McCown's head move in the different direction, where it's like all locked in on C.J. Stroud, and then the other pretty girl comes walking, in this case a quarterback, in Bryce Young, and he's like, oh, C.J., I thought I loved you. You're like an 8.5. That person's a 9. I'm going to go after the 9. That's the big question on Josh McCown. He doesn't seem tough to get, though, is what he's saying.
Well, he seems like someone I think who has his love and his choice, but maybe he's in a family where you don't get the choice. You are, it's
a pre-arranged marriage.
Whoa. If David Tepper swoops in and says, actually, here's your bride or husband, partner, whatever you want to call it, and Bryce Young, yeah, that's actually who you're going to be with. So forget CJ, get him out of your brain. This is now your new man, your new love.
Are you telling us something that we're not aware of? Was your relationship an arranged relationship? Did Papa Hickey come down and say, you are dating Lolly. This is who you're dating. This is who you'll marry, and you have no choice and no say.
No, not me, but I can see David Tepper being that guy. Absolutely. He's very controlling, very aggressive.
Has a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. being someone who wants to arrange a marriage and dictate who is going to be with who.
You're not wrong. Okay, we got two more stories from the NFL draft. One on the Colts potentially selecting Will Levis with the 4th overall pick, which would be music to my ears, and I'll tell you why on the other side. And also, two other teams that could be trading into the number 3 spot. We'll be talking about that next. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, by the way, I didn't discuss this with you yet. What did you end up doing for the final 4 games? I elected to pass on spending a bunch of money to go watch Bruce Springsteen at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, because I already have 3 tickets to this tour. So I did not pull the trigger on the tickets. And I said, I'm going to do what men do best. And that is call up a few buddies of mine. We sat on a couch. We ordered a ton of Chinese food, had a few drinks. And we watched the first game, which was a great game at the end between San Diego State and FAU. We all know the buzzer beater by Lamont Butler in a game where for most of it, I was like, oh, wow. And I thought San Diego State was going to win going in. I'm like, FAU's just the better team. And then they missed an opportunity in the second half to shut the door on San Diego State. And Butler, I look back at that play, Hickey, he almost stepped out of bounds. And I didn't realize it in the moment, but that foot is almost out of bounds, and he comes back, and he hits that shot. What a great moment. You get Bill Raftery finally. Onions. I always say that's like a double order when you get the moment like that as the buzzer does go off, and it's right at the end of the game. So that was phenomenal. Then the second game, it was disappointing just because after you had the first game, it's like, wow, maybe we are going to get 2 great games in a tournament that everyone told us going to the Final Four was going to be boring, was going to be awful, and was going to be terrible because there's no blue blood in it, even though I would argue UConn is a blue blood. And don't tell Jim Calhoun, who joined us last week, that they're not a blue blood because he will give you a stern talking, and deservedly so. But after you get that moment with Butler, I go, wow, the most entertaining an exciting NCAA tournament that I've ever seen with what happened the first 2 weeks. What a bang it starts off with in the Final Four. And then, just unfortunately, that game, Miami and UConn, it was weird because I think a lot of people will say that game was bad. And when you watch it, it didn't live up to the hype of UConn and Miami. But I will compare UConn to what the Warriors have done. And I'm not talking about their last championship. I was talking about when they were with KD. I'm not saying they're that dominant because that would be crazy. But even when a team is that dominant, I still find it impressive. And a moment like what we saw on Saturday where UConn did not even have to break a sweat, that was still impressive to me, even though most of the world will say, yeah, it was a bad game because we want to see a close game like what we saw in the first game where it comes down to the wire, even when it wasn't looking like it was going to come down to the wire for most of the way.
That UConn-Miami game is very frustrating because UConn controlled it the entire time. It was up by double digits basically the entire time. Miami goes in that late run to get it. I think the closest they got it to, I believe, was 7.
Yeah.
I know definitely 8, but I think they got it down at 1.7 before
UConn. But anytime they would get it to 7, it would go right back up to 10 or 11 or 12.
And the score would not reflect this because, again, for the most part, it was a double-digit game. But Miami, I think it was at the end. I know it was definitely 14 missed layups. It may have been, you know, 1 or 2 at the end late. But it's like, UConn played really well. Also, at the same time, Miami played terribly and still was in it. So it's one of those things where it's like, I thought, it's going to maybe hot take, I don't know. I thought UConn played maybe arguably their worst game of the tournament and then still won by 13 points. So it's like one of those where, yes, it felt like UConn was in control, but also at the same time, Miami had so many opportunities where it should have been a game, and I could argue they should have won the game. And they just, I mean, you talk about making easy buckets, could not do so. Credit to UConn for any time, again, it got close, they put him away and did what you got to do offensively, defensively. But Miami, man, make half your layups, could win the game.
Well, it also shows you the importance of the big guys down low. Because my biggest takeaway from that game, and I would not argue that that was Miami's worst game of the tournament. We saw what the scores were at halftime up against Iona and St. Mary's, and I know what did transpire in the second half. This one was never looking like, or you ever thought for a second, that UConn wasn't going to win with the way that they started off with Sonogo hitting those 2 threes right out of the gate, even though it was only 6-0, it's like, they're going to be in some trouble. But those bigs for UConn. Even when they take Sanogo out, Klingon comes in, and that dude's going to be a monster. He hasn't even really grown into his body yet. That dude Klingon is going to be sensational. So those bigs for UConn, I thought, were the story and played a factor into why Miami was missing some of those layups as well. Now, they did just miss some shots that you got to hit as well. I totally get that. But I thought for Miami, if they were going to win the game, Norchad Omier had to step up and elevate his game, and we know what he's done for that team. I hate to rip a college kid, but he was terrible in the game. He was brutal.
And Isaiah Wong, too, a guy that we've had on the show, has been very good for Miami this entire run.
He needed to take over.
Ball-handling issues where, again, they were just self-inflicted wounds, even just horrible turnovers. You couldn't dribble the ball down the court. It was very frustrating.
And they, like, I know 7 threes doesn't win you a game, but we saw that they couldn't hit a shot, you know, outside of, you know, from the three-point line in their last game, in that game against Texas. It was really Texas hitting all those threes, and then UConn was basically just going into the paint and getting the twos. They get 7 three-point shots. I know that's not, like, you know, so high in number, but that was a number where if you would have told me before the game they had 7 three-pointers and they still got blown out, I would have been surprised by that a little bit.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're not, you know, that's not a team that, you know, shoots a lot of threes, but at least they didn't have to against Texas because they got whatever they wanted inside.
And that was coming back, too. They were down, what, 14 in that game or something like that?
Yeah.
Against Texas, so.
Second half.
Now, let me get to these other two NFL storylines. So, this one, I know what you're going to do because you're going to hold your nose up high and you're going to use my words against me and you're going to say, oh, this is rumor season. I don't believe anything of it. But if it was a rumor where Bryce Young was going to the Colts, we would hear from Hickey, see, folks, there's still a shot to get the job done. Bryce Young, whatever your slogan was, we're going to pay the price. Let's go get Bryce. You knew that would be the take today. But since it's someone that you don't want on your team, you're predictable. I know what you're going to say. But give me your reaction. This is from Jeremy Fowler saying there's buzz in league-wide circles about the Colts selecting Will Levis fourth overall.
Two things. I'll give you both reactions, if it's real and if it's fake. Number one, I personally think this is more about hype in terms of maybe trying to be a smokescreen to either have a team trade up to number three and give away draft capital for a player that the Colts have no interest in getting. They're working out both Bryce Young and CJ Stroud today. Now, that may mean nothing.
But what does that do in the Will Levis front?
Well, I'm saying there's now reports of the Cardinals being interested,
yes,
in trading back. So again, all these reports, if you make it seem like the Colts are interested and really love this Will Levis guy.
Oh, to get Richardson now, maybe, yes, for three?
Maybe that all of a sudden has the Raiders or whoever trades up to number three do a double take of, well, maybe we should look back at Levis and maybe convince themselves that Levis is better, a better fit than Richardson. And Richardson, if that's who the Colts actually like this entire time, falls there at number four and the Colts don't have to move up. And they also get their guy. I think to me it's more smoke screens than anything else. But if it's real, let's say this is true and the Colts now this affinity for the former Penn State quarterback. This is what I'll say.
I love it. The former Penn State quarterback. Let's just not look at the last 2 years at Kentucky. It's all about Penn State with you Penn State propaganda people.
I figured you'd like that joke. I'm a broken man at this point. I am someone who I was in the camp of Bryce Young or bust.
Wait, now, sorry to interrupt you. Hickey is literally a broken man today because he almost cut off his finger this weekend. You can't see it, but he has a bandage around. Is that your left thumb, I believe
that
thumb.
Is? Good thing it's not my right thumb.
Your left thumb. So what the heck happened this weekend?
Well, we were making a little burgers and fries from scratch at home. And so we were cutting potatoes. And I kind of knew it. The potato that I was cutting was like a triangle a little bit. The angle was tough. But I figured I'm just going to get in there. I can do it. And the one thing I thought I was not going to be able to, or you know, I was going to move my thumb out the last second to kind of get the knife in there. I didn't move the thumb fast enough and chipped a little bit of the thumb.
How many layups, by the way, did you say Miami missed?
14.
14. And you were criticizing guys for missing layups, but you can't even cut potatoes.
Well, I would argue cutting potatoes and the angle is working. I was a lot trickier than, you know, hitting an open layup.
I like to see you hit 14 layups.
Okay. Well, I can't do it. But that's the last time I saw that many missed layups was my CYO team. So I'm not saying I could do it. I'm just saying the last time I saw that many missed shots was when I was playing basketball.
You almost sliced your finger off.
That's right.
Because you were cutting potatoes.
And here I am at work the next day without even the thought of taking a sick day. So
stop.
bandaged it up like the man I am, and here I am working on a Monday.
Oh, give me a
break. Less than 24 hours after it happened.
You're a participation trophy kid.
No, I'm showing you my toughness. You sometimes question my, you know, my dedication to the show or if I'm quote-unquote tough enough. Here I am, hours after almost slicing my thumb off, at work doing my job. Without even a complaint, without even just like a...
There was a Penn State 20 game in the
Not trying to make it about myself. I didn't bring it up to you. I didn't tell you about it to not get, you know, not play the sympathy card. I just put my, you know...
If there was a Penn State wrestling match tonight, Hickey would be out.
Well, you know, that's actually a good program. So, yes, that deserves my undivided attention.
All right, anyway, get back into to this nonsense that you were talking about.
I'm a broken man. Bust.
Wait, one more thing.
Sure.
You have big-time problems in the kitchen.
Me?
Yeah. A few months ago, you had food poisoning. That was the first time.
A few weeks ago.
No, it was the first time.
Still remember that.
For the first time, you had food poisoning.
This was like 2 years ago.
Oh, was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
When you undercooked the chicken.
Yes.
Which you were like the only person in America that could undercook chicken.
Well, the color threw me off.
Yeah, okay. Once again, one of the only people in America that could undercook chicken. Then, right before the Super Bowl, you get food poisoning on your first Super Bowl trip, and now you're in the kitchen and you can't cut potatoes.
Well, I will say
Three strikes, you're out.
The second time I had food poisoning, the one right before the Super Bowl, I was out of the restaurant.
Well,
it was
that's
not
on you.
Me.
That's on you because your family picked a bad restaurant.
Directly contributing to my own illness. It was just unfortunately wrong place at the wrong time for restaurant reasons, and I got you know me and Jordan Hawkins, we both got screwed. Now I wasn't eating calamari like apparently he was, but.
What were you eating?
I got steak that night.
You got food poisoning off steak and chicken?
Allegedly.
Give me a break.
That's
what do you mean allegedly?
Well, I'm assuming it was from the place I ate at. I mean, I can't. There's never, you know, a 100% fact.
Maybe
but
it was that peanut butter that you like to eat that got the recall.
No. That's
what's the crappy peanut butter that you eat?
Jif.
Yeah, I know.
That was in the summertime. It is. Salmonella
never
is
know.
Long gone.
Could have got a jar from a few months ago.
From those jars, that's for sure.
Okay. So let me do you a favor. Stop cooking. You're clearly not good at it. You don't really have diversity. You bring the same thing in every night, and you get hurt in your tummy and your finger now.
Well, I'm tough enough, so I'm going to keep pushing through. Most people would quit and hire a chef or force their partner, girlfriend, boyfriend to cook. I am right back in the kitchen earlier this afternoon making my own dinner, and I made it out alive. So one day without an incident in the kitchen.
Okay. You and JPP look similar today. That's all I'm going to say.
Well.
At least you didn't blow yourself up with fireworks.
That's way worse to me. That's way worse.
All right, give me back to your fakakta theory here.
No, there's no theory. It's just you think, I'm a broken man. So if they draft Will Lewis, at this point, I'm numb to it. I've come to grips that they're not getting Bryce Young. At this point, I'm desperate to get CJ Stroud, which is not going to happen either. So Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, okay, fine. This team's going to stink. I don't think either are going to work out. My biggest hope is that if they do draft one of those guys, that this time next year, they're right back in the quarterback carousel and drafting someone else. So there's not going to be a big freak out.
Which is not going to happen.
I am numb at this point to the Colts' options because they screwed themselves by sitting at 4 instead of trading to number 1. And now if it's going to be Will Levis, I hope he works out. He's probably not. And my biggest hope is that if he doesn't work out, you do what the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen. Say see you later.
I would say you should play yourself a small violin, but I don't think your fingers are in any shape to do that right now.
My right hand is good to go.
I don't know.
I got 5 digits there, all fully working. Not bandaged up.
I don't know.
Although I will say the thumb injury is tough.
How are you going to hold the other violin?
Can't
then?
Text.
Yeah.
I only need one. Small violin, you know, you put in between your thumb and your pointy finger.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Come on. You ever see the SpongeBob episode, Mr.
Krabs?
Yeah. You only need 2 fingers for that.
You know, you always take everything so literally. Oh, you see the other hand.
I definitely take something too serious.
Jeez. Now, here's what I'll predict. First pick in the draft, Panthers, C.J. Stroud. It's not what I would do. This is what I just think is going to happen. I think Bryce Young goes 2 to the Texans. I then do believe the report that the Raiders and the Titans, there's been buzz about them moving up to 3rd overall pick. I don't know who's going to move up to 3. Right now, I would say Raiders. And you could take Richardson, sit him for a year or two because you have Jimmy G. And then the 4th pick, if I'm the Colts at that rate, I would pass on a quarterback. But I do think they're going to take Will Levis. I did not think we were going to get quarterbacks with the first 3 picks. Now I'm saying that we're going to get quarterbacks with the first 4 picks. I think these quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4, are going Stroud 1, Young 2, Richardson 3 via trade, and then the Colts take Will Levis in at 4.
If the first, I could see, if Richardson's gone at three, I could see the Colts passing on Will Levis and trying to draft Hendon Hooker. Not at four. I'd use that pick at 35, maybe circle back into the first round.
But if you don't love Hendon Hooker and then you just like him, like, I know that Tennessee basically has given up on Malik Willis after a year, but Sam Howell was, what, in the fifth round? And now he's basically going to be the starter for the Commanders. Sometimes teams, if you draft someone at the end of the first round or the second round, they feel as if they're locked into them, even though at the time maybe you were taking them not thinking that they were going to be your quarterback of the future.
Well, Hooker's tricky just because with the torn ACL, like, he's probably going to miss, at least from reports, half the year. So it's one of those things where...
And he's 25.
Yep, he's older. Well, I mean, still, I mean, Joe Burrow is older as well. Now,
not
again,
Whedon.
That's Joe Burrow.
Right? Wasn't Brandon Whedon like 27?
He was like 28 or 29, yeah. He went, you know, he was minor league baseball, I believe it was. But Hendon Hooker is just a man who benefited from the COVID extra year and stayed a while. But I don't think age is going to be that big of a deal for the Colts. And again, I think it's more, if you take Hendon Hooker late first round, tricky part is you're not going to really know what he is in year one, at least, and, you know, have an ability to figure out if you can build around him or not. But I could see that. I think there's some buzz with the Colts and Hendon Hooker. That's who I'd watch out for.
All righty, we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, I have audio that you have to hear. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I have not brought this up to you yet, but do you know that you're being accused of something today?
I'm being accused of something?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the first I'm hearing of any accusations towards me. What did I do?
So it's been a rough last few days, I guess, for Hot Take Hickey, because you do have a bandage wrapped around your left thumb because you almost cut off your left thumb while cutting up potatoes last night to make hamburgers and French fries. So I do have some sympathy before I play this, but I'll set it up first and then I'll tell you what you're being accused of. This is on the Ryan Hickey Show on CBS Sports Radio right here. And Hickey does a show every Friday into Saturday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern. Listen up to the audio.
You could start to build a path towards becoming the Gonzaga of the East Coast. Dominant program that plays in a smaller conference. Sorry about that. I think it just went over the air. My apologies. That was a burp that slipped out. My bad. But FAU can become the dominant program in a smaller conference, just like Gonzaga has become in the WCC and in the West Coast.
Now, it's funny because we were having this conversation on the show that we do together on Friday. And obviously, you could bring it back up on your own show because that's your own time. I didn't like the take, or I disagreed with the take. I thought Dusty May is going to leave a year from now anyway. But that was your take. We had a little disagreement, and then out of nowhere, a burp just came upon you during that segment. I'll tell you what you're being accused about in just a moment, but I'm just wondering, did you try to, like, cough button it and you just weren't quick enough? Take me through, I don't know if you have any tummy issues or anything, take me through the belch heard around the world on CBS Sports Radio.
No, I just thought I turned my mic off. I could have swore that my finger was on the button. You heard a pause there, and then I thought I hit it off. Boom, and all of a sudden I looked down, and the red light's still on. I said, oh, boy. I looked at Alex, who's producing. I was like, oh, I guess that just happened.
Very light belch, by the way. You don't have a loud belch.
Well, it's water. So it's not like I'm not drinking anything carbonated.
It's like a little hiccup, though.
Well, that happens, yeah. I don't know why. It's actually a little frustrating, to be honest, why, like, it keeps happening. But anytime I drink water to hydrate my voice during the break, like,
oh,
5 minutes
now?
Later, it's, you know, it's always like some sort of burp happening.
You got the yips? Is that what you're saying?
I guess so. The water burping yips.
Are you like Scott Brosius?
Yeah, he couldn't throw to first base, right? And I can't talk without burping every 5 minutes.
So that's been an issue for you. I'm surprised by that.
Yes, it's very frustrating, actually.
Do you need water during the show?
Yes. I mean, 4 hours talking, yes.
Okay. And you've just been having these hiccups out of nowhere?
Yes.
Wow.
Usually I can feel it sometimes. So, usually have plenty of time to turn it off, try to let it out, and go back to talking, you know, making whatever point I was making. But like I said, in this instance, I didn't, well, I thought I hit it. Not that I didn't get there in time. I thought I could have swore I hit the off button. Did not. Look down. Red light was still on, and there you go.
Now, I will say I do appreciate how quickly you ended up going right back into your take. And you know what I've realized? You have one word that you love to drag out, and that's dominant. The DO in dominant, you really emphasize that.
Dominant.
I know, but like you say it emphatically because I heard it three times in that clip. But anyway, here's what you're getting accused of. DA and Mraz played your audio this morning in their sound check. This is DA accusing you of stealing his take. Listen up.
This was my take. I had FAU as Gonzaga on Friday. Remember, I did this take. That FAU could be the Gonzaga of the East Coast. Hickey stole my take. This is unbelievable. First of all, it's a theft of a take. Second of all, that doesn't just slip out. I mean, he really stopped, paused, and let it go. Shouldn't you turn off your microphone there?
His new nickname, Hack Take Hickey.
Like, I can't believe Hickey burped on the air during my take. That was my take. Come on, Hickey. So Hickey now gets hammered at the Rose Bowl and does social media videos and burps during his solo shows? What is happening with him? Come on.
So you've made it clear by now, Hack Take Hickey. I don't know if I want to call you that. But you've made it clear that you did not intentionally burp on the air and you tried to turn off your microphone and for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. But the serious allegation by DA that you stole his take of FAU being the next Gonzaga, is that true or is that false? Were you listening to the DA show, or I don't know if they posted on social media, saw that, and that's how you got the idea of FAU being the next Gonzaga? Because I will say, even though I disagree with the take, I thought that was a pretty original take that you had on Friday, but I guess I was mistaken on that.
So I'm just trying to look on Twitter. He's not posted anything. No, that is totally original. That was my own thought. I guess DA must have said it. I really thought I was the only one who's ever said it. You listen to the show more than I do. You didn't bring it up in terms of hearing DA say it.
No, I didn't hear that.
So, I mean, I guess it happens where people have, again, similar thoughts. I really thought I was the only one. That's part of the reason why I led my show with it. I did not see anywhere else anyone making that comparison. I thought I was original. And that is why I did it. No, I'm not stealing anybody's take. So, if it was DA's take, I would give him credit, first of all. But also, I would not do it on my show.
Are you offended that DA, who I thought used to think very highly of you, would think that you would steep to that level of stealing someone else's take and just throw that out so easily?
Yeah, a little. Well, I don't know. I mean, I kind of get it. I would have probably the same reaction if roles were reversed, of like in the span of 24 hours hearing someone else say the exact thing I said. So I would probably make the same accusation if I was him first, but no. It is not theft. It is my own original thought. You can listen to the entire segment. I don't know how he dressed it up. I don't know how he framed it. But FAU as the next Gonzaga was the part of the way I decided to preview the Final Four.
Gotcha. Any other things that you would like to say, just addressing DA, who accused you? Once again, that's a serious allegation, accusing you of stealing a take.
I guess if I ever get to that level, I should be fired. Because if I can't think of anything original to say, there's no reason to be doing the show.
Can I advise you here?
Sure.
Now, this is just us talking. Is my mic on or off? I don't know. I think you should go all Jim Calhoun and say, here's some advice. Shut up. Stop talking.
Oh.
Go get some facts and then come back.
I think you're going to go, you want me to say effed up? I effed up, all right? You want me to say effed up? I effed up. But in this case,
Go get some facts.
I did not F up. Yeah, go get some facts. It was not taken. That's actually kind of, I'm actually more annoyed that he had that take because I really thought I was the only one saying it. So it's a little frustrating that there's someone else on our own network having the same thought. I like kind of being on my own. But so that's more, I'm more frustrated, I guess, that this was not that original or not that creative where someone else possibly couldn't think of it than mad that I'm getting accused of stealing a take.
Now, some are saying, and I know, right, you said you cut your finger cutting potatoes. Some may say that you were listening to DA's podcast over the weekend and you found out, oh, that's when he started to throw out the Gonzaga and the FAU comparison. You go, oh, I can't believe that DA had that take when I had that take, and that's what made you almost slice your finger off this weekend while cutting potatoes. True or false?
False. False.
I love how serious you take everything.
That's a flaw. I agree.
On CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. Jan Alaska, I'll see you. I'll make sure to get to you in the next hour because I know you want to talk about your Raiders. But we come on back, five questions, five answers. We do this segment every Monday and Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's called Onsides Offside. Whole lot of questions to get to today on some of the biggest topics. Obviously, we'll delve back into the national title game tonight as UConn is going up against San Diego State. Further delve into just this ridiculousness from everything that transpired with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And more so, it's just the reaction or the overreaction to it. And we will circle in some NFL points as well. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You could always give us a call at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You could also hit us up on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. When we return, we'll see what other takes Hickey may or may not steal. Back in five.